Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to tell you a little bit of the story that happened before Adam started reading. In verse 8 it says, "And it fell on a day that Elijah passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Of course, Elisha was the prophet that God ordained to take over after Elijah went to heaven in that fiery chariot with fiery horses. And so he was the man of God. He was the prophet. And as when he passed by this city called Shunem, this lady that lived there saw him, I think recognized him for who he was and said, "Hey, I want you to come and eat dinner with me today." And I like that word where it says she constrained him. I don't know if he hesitated for a moment, but she constrained him to come. And as often as he passed by, she would feed him. And she said to her husband, and again, it's earlier in the chapter, chapter 4, you can read it. She says, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, and here's what I think we should do. I think we should build a room for him, and any time he comes in, not only will we give him a meal to eat, but we'll give him a place to stay. And her husband agreed, and they built a room on the side of their house, and the Bible says they put a bed and a stool and a table and a candlestick in that room, and every time that Elisha came to this city, he stayed with this man and his wife. He wanted to return the kindness to this lady, and he said, "Well, what can I do for you? Would you like that I speak to the king, or could I speak to the captain of the host on your behalf? I can talk to them. I have some influence with them. Can I do that for you to repay this kindness that you've done for me?" And this lady said, "No, I don't need anything." And so Elisha called his servant Gehazi and said, "Well, what are we going to do?" And Gehazi said, "Well, she doesn't have any children, and her husband is old." And Elisha said, "Okay, call her." And Gehazi called the lady, and Elisha said, "About this time next year, you're going to have a baby boy." And that happened. She had a son, and that brings us up to the point where Adam started reading. That son grew up and went to work with his dad in a field one day with the reapers. And his head began to hurt, and he cried out to his dad, and this dad does like most dads do when a little kid gets hurt, said, "Take him to his mom, she'll know what to do." And that's right, Brother Leonard, yeah, that's what I always said. I don't know what to do, especially if there was blood involved. Take him to his mom, she'll know what to do. And a servant took this young man to his mother. He laid his head on her lap until noon and then died. This mom took this young man up to Elisha's room and laid him on Elisha's bed. She got one of the servants and a donkey and went to where Elisha was. Elisha, the Bible says, saw her coming a great distance off, and he said to his servant Gehazi, he said, "Hey, there's that lady that I stay with when I'm in Shunem. I don't know why she's coming. The Lord hasn't revealed it to me. He hasn't told me why she's coming to see me. Go to her and ask her these questions. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" This morning I want to preach a sermon I've entitled, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee?" And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this and other opportunity to be in this place, to open the Bible, to hear it preached. I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds, that you would do in each one of us what needs to be done this morning. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they make that decision. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to ask you the same question that Elisha's servant asked this lady. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? And I want to point out three things about the question as I ask it to you this morning. Number one, I'll point out to you that it's a very intimate, personal question. To answer this question truthfully, you have to strip off all the veneer, all the force fields, all the defenses we put up around ourselves to keep other people from knowing how we really are. To answer that question, you have to take all those things and lay them aside, and you have to get down to your soul. You have to get down to that part of you that is really you, that part of you that's going to live for all eternity. And when I asked the question, or when Elisha asked the question, and when I asked the question this morning, is it well with thee? What I'm really asking you is, how is it between you and your God? When I ask the question, is it well with thee? What I'm asking is, how is your relationship with God? Because you see, if you're not right with God this morning, it cannot be well with thee. If you're not saved this morning, you're not right with God. You see, if you're not saved this morning, you're a sinner. And that sin separates us from God. Now, every single one of us, I don't care where you came from, I don't care where you live this morning, but every single person that's ever been born was made by God to fellowship with Him. You were created, you were made. You say, oh, I wasn't created, I was born. Hey, I don't believe there's any little baby born without God having a creative hand in it. I know you had a mom and dad, and God used them, but I believe God is behind every little child that's born. I believe God was behind your birth. I believe God had a purpose for your birth. And one of the main purposes of that birth, so that it was that you could have a relationship with God, you could be a friend of God, you could fellowship with Him. And because of our sin, the sin that all of us have in our life, the sin that we inherited from Adam, that sin nature that we inherited from Adam, that sin that we commit by knowingly disobeying God, it separates us from God. And being separate from God, you cannot have the fellowship that you were made to have, made to enjoy. And if you don't have that fellowship, you're not right with God. And if you're not right with God, it cannot be well with thee. Now, even after we're saved, there are other things that can mess up that fellowship. You see, there's circumstances that come into our life. God lets certain things come into our life. And from a human perspective, we cannot understand why a loving God, especially if we're one of His children, we cannot understand why God would let those circumstances come into our life. There's people sitting in this room this morning that's fighting cancer. You're fighting it. And they're children of God. They're Christians. They know Jesus as their Savior. They ask the question, well, why would a loving God, why would a God that made me to fellowship with Him, why would He let cancer come into my life? You know what happens sometimes? When circumstances come into our life, circumstances we don't understand, you know what happens? We get mad at God. We get upset with God. I was thinking about this week as I was praying for a couple different people in our church that are going through some battles right now with their health. And some of them, and again, I don't condemn anybody that does this because I know how hard it is to understand how God works. But I thought about it. When we get mad at God, it's like a little 2-year-old boy getting mad at their father for keeping them away from the fire. We're keeping them away from a highway. You see, God has a purpose for everything that He lets come into our life. We may not be able to understand it with this human mind that we have. But God knows what He's doing. It's what makes Him God. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not God. Because you know what? If I was God, nobody would have a lemon-filled day any day of their life. Every day of your life, it would be peaches and ice cream and whatever you like. Every day. There would be no hardship. There would be no tears. There would be no struggling. But you know what? That wouldn't make a very good Christian. That wouldn't make us the kind of people that God wants us to be. And God uses those things that we don't understand, that He lets comes into our life to make us into the person that He designed us to be. Is it well with thee? Other things mess up that relationship. Do you know if you're not right with your spouse, you can't be right with God? And if you're not right with God, it's not well with thee. Do you know if you're not right with your children or your parents, if there's something between you and your children or between you and your parents, you're not right with God. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, you don't know what they did. I don't need to know what they did. I'm just preaching the truth to you this morning. If there's something between you and your parents or you and your children, go get it fixed. Get it fixed. Because if you're not right with your children or you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. And if you're not right with God, it is not well with thee. If there's something between you and another Christian, if there's some kind of wall or barrier there, you're not right with God. And if you're not right with God, it is not well with thee. So this morning, I ask you the question, is it well with thee? Here's what I want you to do. Just for a second, I want you to take all the protective devices that we surround ourselves with so that nobody else knows how we really feel. I want you to tear down all the walls for a minute. I want you to lower all the shields. I know, we hide ourselves, and sometimes we do so much to hide our true self from others that we end up hiding our true selves from ourself. I mean, people come up to us and they ask, well, how you doing? And here's what most of us say. Well, I'm okay. I'm doing good. I'm having a good day. When in truth, you may be the most miserable person that's alive on the face of the earth. And you'll say, well, I'm okay, I'm fine, because here's how we think. Well, they're just asking to be polite. They don't really care. They're not really interested in what's going on in my life. I want to tell you something this morning. God is. He's interested in what's going on in your life, and He cares. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to honestly answer the question, is it well with thee? How is it between you and God? I want you to be honest. I don't want you to tell me. I don't want you to tell the person that's sitting next to you. I want you to be honest. I want you to look at your soul, and I want you to answer that question for yourself. Is it well with thee? We had a special a couple of 3 weeks ago, and I was thinking about the words of that song as I was thinking about this question in my own life. The chorus of that song went like this: only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can take a life and make it whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Is it well with thee? It's an intimate question, a very personal question. Number two, it's a very inclusive question. You see, when Elisha asked this lady, is it well with thee, he didn't stop there. He went ahead and he had his servant say, is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And so I'll ask you the same questions this morning as I ask you, is it well with thee? Is it well with your spouse? Is it well with your children? Is it well with your parents? Is it well with your brothers and sisters? How is their relationship with God? I don't know how a Christian, somebody that knows they're on their way to heaven, somebody that's been saved, somebody that knows Jesus as their personal Savior, can't help but have a broken heart if they have a spouse, if they have a child, if they have a parent, or if they have a brother or a sister that's not saved, not living for God. Many dads and many moms that are Christians, that are saved, and they're on their way to heaven, they don't realize that every time they see their child, every time they see their parent, every time they see their grandchild, that one is reading them like a book. I mean, when the grandkids come over and you play and you have a good time, I want you to know something. Your grandkids are studying you. When they come to church with you, they're studying you. They're forming an opinion about Jesus and about heaven and about the things of God, not just by what the Sunday school teacher says, not just by what the junior church teacher says, but by mom and dad and by grandpa and grandma. And the prayers of a mom and dad, I think, or grandpa and grandma, I know it was true in my case, do more to turn children and grandchildren to God than just about anything else. And so if you had a mom and dad that prayed for you and brought you up in the things of God, thank God for them. Thank God for them. When Paul and Silas were in that Philippian jail, and the jailer came to them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Their answer was, and we know the first part of it, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that's the part we quote most of all. And that's the truth. That's truth. How to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But there's one little phrase at the end that if we don't read the verse carefully, we leave out. And that little phrase on the end of that verse is, "And thy house." And thy house. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. You go back and you read that story in Acts chapter 16. Not only did that Philippian jailer get saved, but his wife got saved and his whole household got saved. They were all baptized the same night. And so I appeal to mom and dads this morning. I appeal to grandparents this morning. Is it well with thee? Is it well with your child? Is it well with your spouse? Is it well with your grandchildren? You have an opportunity as a mom, as a dad, as a grandpa, as a grandma, as a brother or a sister or a child to reach out to those in your family and help them face the same question that I'm asking you to ask yourself this morning. Is it well with thee? How's your relationship with God? If your relationship with God is messed up, it is not well with thee. Only Jesus can bring the satisfaction. Like Barb sang a moment ago, he's not only hope for tomorrow, he's help for today. And you can't be well with thee unless you are right with God. So it's an intimate question. Number two, it's an inclusive question. Number three, it's an insistent question. It's a question that doesn't go away. It's a question that keeps coming back. It's a question that God brings across our path over and over and over and over. It's a question that God keeps asking because we have a God that doesn't give up. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he comes back to us as individuals, just like Elisha did to this lady, and he keeps asking the question, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? How's your relationship with me? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Is it well with thee?" Don't raise your hand, but I want you to think of the answer to this question. How many of you were saved the first time you heard the gospel? How many of you were saved the first time somebody told you the story of Jesus? You've heard my testimony. I wasn't. I wasn't saved the first time. I wasn't saved the second time. I wasn't saved the third time. I had to hear it over and over and over again. My grandmother had to put her bony finger in my face over and over and over again and tell me, "Daryl, you're going to hell if you don't get saved." Kevin, that's exactly how she did it. She stuck her finger almost in my eyeball. "You're going to hell." And man, she wasn't kidding. "You're going to hell if you don't get saved." Over and over and over again. I think sometimes I got saved just to get her to quit shaking her finger at me. But I thank God that we have a God that is persistent, that doesn't give up on us. I thank God for preachers that keep preaching the gospel. I thank God for grandparents and parents that keep telling their family about Jesus. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that keeps coming back and driving this question deep into our hearts and our soul. Is it well with thee? Is it well with your spouse? Is it well with your children? I thank God that he's a God that doesn't give up. Some might say, unsaved people might say, I wish God would just leave me alone. I wish the Holy Spirit would just leave me alone. I know I'm a sinner. I'll get saved when I feel like it. I'll get saved when I want to. Holy Spirit, just quit bugging me about it. Dad, just quit bugging me about it. Grandma, just quit bugging me about it. And I caution you this morning, don't say that. Don't think that. Because the moment the Holy Spirit keeps convicting you of sin, the moment the Holy Spirit quits calling you to God, is the moment that you've sealed your eternal doom in hell. The Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit draws us, we cannot come to God. And you better be glad that that still small voice is in your soul this morning saying, hey, that preacher is right. You need to get saved, because that means the Holy Spirit hadn't given up on you. Means God hasn't given up on you. It means you haven't committed the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is saying no to Jesus and no to the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'm done. And if you've got any inkling this morning that you need to be saved, that you need to come to Jesus, you need to come this morning while he's calling. I know even some Christians say, when there's something in our life that shouldn't be there, there's something that needs to be there that's not, and the Holy Spirit keeps coming back and poking us in the eye and poking us in the heart and saying, hey, you need to get this thing fixed. You need to get right. And some Christians say, hey, Holy Spirit, just leave me alone. I know that the things in my life that shouldn't be there shouldn't be there, and I know there's things that should be there that aren't, and when I get ready, I'll fix them. Just leave me alone. I don't need you bugging me. Now, help you understand this morning, that's one of Satan's lies. Because you do need the Holy Spirit, and I do need the Holy Spirit. I still got that old man that Brother Leonard was talking about this morning in Sunday school that lives right here. And he ain't very nice. And he's going to lead me apart from the things of God. That's one of the reasons God gave us the church, one of the reasons God gave us each other, so that we could provoke one another to love and to good works. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Is it well with your spouse? Is it well with your children? It's an intimate question. It's an inclusive question. It's a question that won't go away. An insistent question. Now that lady, when she came to Elisha, I'm going to be Paul Harvey for a minute. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story, then I'm going to finish up my sermon. When the servant came and said, is it well with thee? Adam read it. She said, it is well. But when she got to Elisha, she fell at his feet and she grabbed hold of his legs and said, it ain't well. My son's dead. And I'm not leaving until you come home with me. It wasn't well with her. It wasn't well with her. And she knew exactly where she needed to go to get things right. She needed to go to God. And she went to the man of God, and she grabbed hold of his legs and said, I'm not leaving you, I'm not letting go until you come home with me. Elisha sent a servant on ahead with his staff and said, hey, when you get there, lay the staff on the boy. And Gehazi took that staff and went to that house and that room that they prepared for Elijah, and he laid the staff on the face and on the body of that boy, and he came back to Elisha and said, he's dead. There's no life in him. Elisha went up to that room, and the Bible says he laid himself on the top of that boy, and he prayed, and God sent his soul back to him, and he called that lady and said, hey, come get your son. Come get your son. Now, if you have to answer that question the same way the lady truthfully answered, it is not well with me, you need to go back to God. Three quick suggestions. Number one, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Just need to be honest with yourself and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've broken God's commandments. And if you have a hard time figuring out which one you broke, you come up during the invitation. I'll help you. We can find at least one that you broke. I guarantee you, I can help you find at least one commandment that you broke. The Bible says if we broke one, we're guilty of all. And we're a sinner. And that sin separates us from God. And if you'll come to Jesus this morning and confess him as your Savior, he'll save you. He'll wash away all your sins and give you his righteousness. If it's not well with thee this morning because you're not saved, you need to get saved. Number two, you need to live in the will of God. If you're a Christian this morning, God has a will for your life. He has a will for every day of your life. He has a will for every hour of every day. If you're a Christian and it's not well with thee because you're out of God's will, here's what you need to do. You need to pray honestly, sincerely. You need to pray, Lord, show me your will for my life, and I will do it. When you pray a prayer like that, that puts the burden back on God. Here's somebody that's saying, you show me, and I'll do it. He'll show you. He'll show you. Then it's up to you to do it. Some of you might say, well, I don't know the will of God. Well, have you asked him? Yeah, I asked him. Did he show you anything? Yeah, I didn't like that part. I'm waiting for another part. Hey, he ain't going to give you the next part till you do the first part. Why should he tell you the part two when you ain't even going to do part one? Stay in his will. And number three, build your life around the church. Find a church that you can be a part of. Find a church that you can go every time the doors open. Find a church that have people in it that love you, that will be instruments of the Holy Spirit to provoke you, to stir you up to love and to good works. Because when it is well with thee, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter if God sends disease. It doesn't matter if God takes away loved ones. It doesn't matter if God sends financial problems into your life. If you can answer the question, is it well with thee? My relationship with God is good. Then regardless of what circumstances come into your life, you can say, it is well. It is well. In 1871, the great fire in Chicago destroyed the whole city. There was a man that lived there named Horatio Spafford. He was a lawyer. Had a lot of real estate, and when that fire came, he lost a fortune. His wealth was just about wiped out. At that same time, he had a little 4-year-old boy. His only son died from scarlet fever. And because he was so upset about everything that was happening in his life, he just threw himself into his work and had a large part in rebuilding the city of Chicago after that fire and helping the over 100,000 people that were left homeless because of that cow that kicked over that lantern and started that fire. A couple of years later, in November of 1873, he decided to take his wife and his four daughters, and go to Europe. He was a friend of D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody was in England at the time holding an evangelistic campaign, and he was going to go over there with his wife and his four daughters and visit with Brother Moody and sit in on some of the meetings, and then he was going to take a vacation. And so they went to New York and they booked passage on a French ocean liner. And he got a phone call the night before the ship was supposed to sail, and he had some business that he had to take care of in New York City, so he sent his wife and his four daughters on ahead. Early in the morning of November 22nd, 1873, that French liner struck another ship and sank. Of the 226 passengers that lost their life that night, Maggie, Janetta, Annie, and Bessie, Brother Spafford's four daughters, lost their lives. His wife was one of the 47 people that survived. And when she made her way to Wales, she sent a cable back to her husband with two words, saved alone. Saved alone. Of course, Mr. Spafford dropped everything he had going and booked passage on the next ship that was headed to where his wife was. And on a cold December night, early in December, the captain came and knocked on his cabin door and said, Mr. Spafford, I just thought you'd like to know, I think we're passing over the spot where the ship went down with your four daughters. Story goes, he went up on deck, stood there for a little while, went back to his cabin, and couldn't sleep. He got up and just wrote one sentence on a piece of paper. It is God's will. It is well. And a couple of days later, he penned the words to the song that we sing every now and then. It is well with my soul. First verse of that song goes like this. When peace like a river attendeth my soul. In other words, when everything is going right, when everything is going good. And then the next phrase says, when sorrows like sea billows roll. In other words, when our life falls apart. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Is it well with thee this morning? If you're not right with God, it can't be well with thee. If you're not a Christian, I invite you to get saved this morning. If you're not in the middle of God's will, I invite you to get back in the middle of God's will. It's the only way it can be well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the simplicity of the instructions that's in this book. I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray that you'd help them cast aside every excuse they've had for getting serious about eternity, for getting serious about the condition of their soul. And I pray this morning that as a sinner, they could come to the only one that can take care of their sin. I pray for the many Christians that might be here this morning that there's something between them and their God. There's something between them and being everything well in their life. And I pray this morning, Father, they come and just give it to you. They just give it to you. You're the only one that can take care of it. They just come and give it to you. So, Father, bless the invitation. Help those that need to come, come. You work in our hearts and in our lives, and you do what only you can do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.